Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask that you would open your word to us. Give us understanding, we pray. Give us insight, but teach us as well, Lord, that we might serve you better. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Have you ever done something that you were surprised by the results that you got from it? Perhaps it was something small and seemingly insignificant. And when the final results came through, you realized, wow, that has surpassed my expectations of what I was doing. Sometimes as Christians, we can feel a little bit overwhelmed by the fact that we don't seem to be progressing as much as we should in terms of reaching other people for Christ. Often Christianity seems so insignificant in the greater picture. Often it seems hidden from the general people in the community. As we sit here in church this morning, numbering around 30 people or so, we might say, really, we're such a small minority of the greater community. What is the point of sitting here? Why do we follow Christ? You might be the only Christian in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. And you might think, you know what? It's easier just to go with the flow and ignore the truth that we have. Jesus, in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel, has been speaking in parables, as we read this morning, so that might be fulfilled, verse 35, what was spoken through the prophet, that the Lord Jesus would open his mouth in parables, that he would utter hidden things. And that's how Jesus has been speaking. But in doing so, Jesus has answered a number of pertinent questions that people in the church might have had. In the parable of the sower, which you recall, where the sower scattered the seeds in the field and there were different responses to the seed, Jesus answered the question, how should we respond to the gospel message? In the section that we looked at last week, the parable of the weeds, Jesus answered the question, how come evil still persists? And he dealt with that for us. Now, in these two short parables that are in this section this morning, from verse 31 to verse 33, Jesus asks another question about the kingdom of heaven, or answers another question about the kingdom of heaven, and that is God's kingdom effective? Is it significant in this world? And so he asked the question, why does the kingdom seem so hidden and insignificant? Well, let's have a look, and I want to have a look at each of the two parables separately, although they say very similar things. So my first comment this morning, the insignificant kingdom. This is the parable here, and Jesus continues his farming analogies. This time, he's talking about a single seed. In this case, a mustard seed. Read verse 31 there. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And he goes on in verse 32 to say, though it is the smallest of all your seeds. Now, we are going to take the Bible to task there and say, but the mustard seed isn't the smallest of all the seeds. There are other seeds that are smaller. But the general thinking of the day was that the mustard seed was about the smallest seed that they had at that time. We've since discovered other seeds and realized that they're smaller, but at the time of Jesus, the mustard seed was known as the smallest seed of all. But that's not really the focus of this parable. It's not about the size of the seed, although it's small and seemingly insignificant. If you've ever sown seeds, you will know that some seeds are way bigger than others, and some are minuscule. I think it's the lithium seeds are minute little seeds. And you can think you're sowing one seed into a little spot, and you end up with this massive clump of lithium plants. And that's a little bit like what the mustard seed was. It is such a small and such an insignificant little seed, and yet, when it grows into a tree, and apparently the mustard trees or mustard bushes in those days grew to about 2 to 3 meters tall. So in proportion to the size of the seed, this is a massive bush. Think about an oak tree. I'm sure many of us have seen oak trees. We perhaps, as kids, we picked up acorns. I remember picking up piles of acorns and then throwing them into the fire and waiting for them to pop. It's always good fun, you know, little boys and fires. But that small little acorn can produce a massive tree, 4, 5, 6 meters tall, with a massive trunk, and so on. The idea here that Jesus is trying to get across with this parable is that here is something minuscule and small that produces something way, way, way bigger than it is. The idea, in many ways, is to show us in the church that numbers are not everything. Being the biggest and most vibrant is not what the gospel is all about. If it was, then Jesus would have used an illustration of a big seed, like a coconut, for example. That the coconut grows into a tree, and we would expect a big seed, like a coconut, to grow into something big. But Jesus is saying here, here's the smallest of things that they knew at that time, and it produces amazing results. Just think about Christianity for a moment. How did Christianity begin as we know it today? Well, it started with a man called Jesus. And Jesus came and taught the gospel. There were 12 men that were surrounded him. And those 12 men took the gospel. It started with reading Acts after Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on them. These 12 disciples, or 11 at that stage, went out and took the gospel from Jerusalem into the province of Judea, into the area of Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And that's how we have it today. The message of Christianity began with 12 people. And look where we are now. In fact, historians tell us that within a few hundred years of the ascension of Jesus, the entire Roman Empire was claiming to be a Christian empire. Think of a man like Hudson Taylor. Maybe you've heard of Hudson Taylor. He was a British missionary that went to China. I think if I'm remembering right, he founded China Inland Mission. And he spent most of his life in China, facing untold odds, losing his wife, losing his children. But he only saw his first convert to Christianity 8 years after he arrived. Tiny, tiny, tiny beginnings. But according to Operation World, there are now over 73 million Christians in China. Small beginnings, massive results. And that's what Jesus' parable is about here. A tiny mustard seed that produces a huge bush. Things do start off small in God's kingdom. But God's kingdom grows beyond what we expect and understand. As seeds produce a large tree, so one Christian can produce many results. So really, I think what the Lord Jesus is trying to say to us here this morning is that, friends, we mustn't be hypnotized by the idea that the more we are, the better we are. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, Jesus says. And though it is small, it can have amazing results. Notice also that this tree grows into as this seed grows into a big tree, it attracts birds to come and roost in it. Now, in many ways, this is meant to illustrate that the mustard seed is perhaps the initial Jewish Christians that then grow into this big tree, and the birds that come to roost in there could symbolize the Gentiles that come to be part of that. And so you and I, in terms of looking at things like that, could be said that we are the birds that are now roosting in this tree of Christianity. But from another point of view, we could say that we are the tree, and as we go out and witness and work within our communities as Christians, we attract other people to come and roost, as it were, in Christianity. You see, friends, our message is simple. We sow the seed, and God produces the results. We don't know who we will attract to the gospel because of how we live. We don't need to have masses and masses of people. Although it's always great and it helps the finances of the church and means we can have a big building and lots of people doing different things. But we don't need to grow discouraged if we are small and seemingly insignificant. Because we are not working for the world, we are working for God. And God's kingdom is like a mustard seed that grows into a massive bush. But let's have a look then at the second parable and my second comment, the hidden kingdom. Jesus continues answering his question about the church. Why is the church so insignificant and seemingly hidden? And he changes his focus now from farming to a much more domestic scene. Here he's now gone into a kitchen of a home. And here he speaks of a lady who is making some bread. Okay, we don't need to generalize. I know there's a lot of guys that make bread as well, but that's not the point of the parable, okay? The point of the parable is to show that this person is making bread. And those of you who have made bread know that there are certain ingredients that go into bread. Okay, I think there's a couple of, there's flour, there's a bit of butter or fatten or something like that. Don't ask me, I haven't actually looked at a bread recipe, but I do know that you need to put yeast into a bread. If you forget the yeast, what happens to the bread? You end up with a flat bread, but it's not a very nice flat bread. It's tough. It's horrible. Maybe, folks, you've left some baking powder out of a recipe by mistake. And you've thrown maybe something else in instead of baking powder. And you know that you end up with a cake. It looks all right, but it's very flat. And it's very chewy and doughy because it hasn't risen. And this is Jesus' parable here. In fact, the idea that this lady is working the yeast in, it could symbolize a lump of last week's dough, which they would then knead into this week's dough. You've all had those little recipes where you grow the culture and then you leave a little bit for next week and you add this, and then next week you add the last bit of that culture, and then the following week you save a bit from this week and so on. That's the idea here. But how much yeast do you need to make a loaf of bread? If you're having 6 cups of flour, or the reference here, 22 litres of flour, if you have a look at your footnote there, it's a pretty lot of large loaf of bread. But you don't need the equivalent amount of yeast, do you? You don't need 22 litres of yeast. You don't need a kilogram of yeast to make a loaf of bread rise. One recipe that I briefly looked at sort of had the idea of about 1/6 of the flour to yeast. But it might be even less, depending on what breads you're making. And the idea here is that as that yeast is worked into the dough, it does its job. It raises the bread. And that bread and that loaf of bread becomes tasty. Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The yeast he's referring to here is the gospel message, the life of Christians, if you like, that infiltrate the world. We have the message of Christ, the message of salvation. And yes, we might be small in number, but that doesn't mean that God's kingdom will not progress. Or that the kingdom needs to be large and have effective church members for it to grow. Like yeast is also hidden. You don't see yeast in the bread, but you see the results of the yeast in the bread. And so as Christians, you might not always see them in the community. We might not always do things in the public eye, yet the influence of the Christian message spreads and permeates into society. Of course, we do need to recognize here that the yeast is not just thrown on top of the bread. It's not kept to one side of the bread. It's worked into the bread. And any of you who've made bread without a bread machine will know that you have to knead the dough. And that's quite a bit of effort, isn't it? You've got to get that dough working, get that yeast activated. And that's the idea here. Yeast is hidden within the dough. Christianity is often hidden within our society, but its influence can be far and wide. Many of you will know the man, or have heard of the man, you will never have known him, but heard of the man John Newton. He wrote the song Amazing Grace. But you will also know, if you know his history, that he was a slave driver until he became a Christian. And then he was one of the men who were instrumental in stopping the slave trade in the UK. Now, there have been many other things that Christians have done. Single Christians. The first hospital was started by a lady by the name of Fabiola, a Christian lady. The first institution for care of the blind was started by Thalasius, a Christian monk. And friends, I'm not even talking about other things that Christians have done, like social work or education or help for the aged or helping the homeless and the orphans and so on. You see, we might be one or two people, we might be a handful of people sitting here in church this morning, but the question is, are we like the yeast? Are we permeating into our society? Are we helping people to turn to Christ? God's kingdom might seem that it's hidden in our society, but are we influencing it like yeast influences the flour in which it is worked into? Do we have the influence as Christians of slowly reforming and turning our communities to the Lord? You see what Jesus is trying to say here in these parables? We don't have to be big and mighty in God's kingdom. We can be small like a mustard seed. We can be hidden and insignificant like yeast. But God will work with that and have amazing results. We might moan that the world is going down the drain. We might complain that things are going from bad to worse in our country, in our society, in our town. As Christians, what effect are we having on our society? Are we mingling with it? Are we mixing with it? Are we sharing the Christian message? Are we standing for Christian truths? Even though they might seem small and insignificant. Are we mixing the Christian message into the world like yeast in the dough? Perhaps we keep ourselves purely to ourselves. What's the point of yeast if we're not going to mix it into anything? It's just going to sit there and eventually, go rotten. Maybe we don't mix with the world. And Jesus' parable here is about the fact that if we are Christian, we have a message, we have a lifestyle, and we are like yeast. We must work our way into our communities. Be part of committees. Speak with your neighbors. When last did we tell someone about Christ Jesus? Or when last did we stand up for the truth? When last did we behave in the way that a Christian should, despite what the popular vote might say? Friends, yes, we might be few. Yes, we might seem like we are nothing and insignificant. But we are one in a group of many. Just like one little bit of yeast affects a whole lot of dough. So as Christians, we can infect, if you want to use that word, a whole group of people. Don't lose sight of this, friends. Continue speaking for Christ and standing up for the truth. And don't give up. So friends, don't think that because you're just one person, that because we're just one tiny church, that because we're elderly, or because we're sick, or because we're young, or because we're working too hard, that God cannot use us. Remember that as Christians, we are like yeast in our community. We are like a mustard seed that grows into a huge bush. Don't give up. Don't lose hope in Christ. Even though we are small, even though we might be insignificant, keep going. Be the seed. Be the yeast. Now just one comment before we close. This is speaking to Christians. As Christians, we are the seed of God in this particular parable. We are to take the message out. We are the yeast that influence our world. But maybe as you sit here this morning, you're not part of God's kingdom. You're not part of the yeast. You're not part of the seed. Well, friends, do come and chat to me about that. Because we do have a strong influence. We do have, as the parable says, the ability to grow into something amazing. Come chat to me about that. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, as we've heard your word, we thank you, Lord, for the encouragement from it that although we might seem small and insignificant and almost hidden within our community, that you are there with us and that you help us to produce amazing results. Lord, help us to be yeast that infect the entire area that we live. Lord, help us to be like the seed and to grow into these amazing bushes. Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.